Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum to this edition of Consciously Connected, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Markaz Sahaba Online, Soul to Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the voice of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah in Durban, South Africa. Alhamdulillah, we have just heard a very informative talk by Brother Sheikh Dr. Abdul Hakim Crick. We now switch over to Brother Abu Bakr Sidat for the program Biladul Muslimin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Abu Bakr Sidat.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mulana, to you and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of the Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Alhamdulillah, through the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we continue with our program on Pakistan, the history, politics, and the form of government that it has. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Jazallahu anna Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima wa ahluhu. Before we delve into our program, Mawlana and our respected listeners, we have been hearing about this Pahalgam attack that took place in Kashmir, occupied Kashmir, on the 22nd of April, where 26 tourists were killed. And between Pakistan and India, there has been talk of war and preparation that India would attack Pakistan. Let us look at this Pahalgam attack, a simple guide to the Kashmir conflict. The roots of this decades-long conflict between India and Pakistan go back to the turbulent partition of 1947. Pakistan and India continue to engage in war rhetoric and have exchanged fire across the line of control, that is the LOC, the de facto border in Kashmir. Days after the Pahalgam attack, in which 26 civilians were killed in Indian-administered Kashmir on the April 22nd. Since then, senior members of Pakistan's government and military officials have held multiple news conferences in which they have claimed to have credible information that an Indian military response is imminent. This is not the first time South Asia's two largest countries, which have a combined population of more than 1.6 billion people, about one-fifth of the world's population, have found themselves under the shadow of potential war. At the heart of their long-standing animosity lies the status of the picturesque valley of Kashmir, over which India and Pakistan have fought three of their four previous wars. Since gaining independence from British rule in 1947, both countries have controlled parts of Kashmir, with China controlling another part of it, but continue to claim it in full. So what is the Kashmir conflict all about? And why do India and Pakistan continue to fight over it 8 decades after independence? India has implied it believes Pakistan may have indirectly supported the Pahalgam attack, a claim Pakistan strongly denies. Both countries have engaged in tit-for-tat diplomatic swipes at each other, including cancelling visas for each other's citizens and recalling diplomatic staff. India has suspended its participation in the Indus Waters Treaty, a water use and distribution agreement with Pakistan. Pakistan has in turn threatened to walk away from the Simla agreement, which was signed in July 1972, 7 months after Pakistan decisively lost the 1971 war that led to the creation of Bangladesh. The Simla Agreement has since formed the bedrock of India-Pakistan relations. It governs the LOC and outlines a commitment to resolve disputes through peaceful means. On Wednesday, the United Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, called Pakistan Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif and Indian External Affairs Minister Subramaniam Jaishankar to urge both countries to work together to de-escalate tensions and maintain peace and security in South Asia. U.S. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth also called Indian Defense Minister Rajnath Singh on Thursday to condemn the attack. He said that he offered his strongest support, that they stand with India and its great people. The line of control, also known as the ceasefire line, is a de facto border that divides Pakistan-administered and India-administered Kashmir. The line originally marked the military front when the two countries declared a ceasefire in January 1949. It was formally named the LOC after the 1972 Simla Agreement. Situated in the northwest of India's subcontinent, the region spans 222,200 square kilometers, with about 4 million people living in Pakistan-administered Kashmir and 13 million in Indian-administered Jammu and Kashmir. The population is overwhelmingly Muslim. Pakistan controls the northern and western portions, namely Azad Kashmir, Gilgit, and Baltistan, while India controls the southern and southeastern parts, including the Kashmir Valley and its biggest city, Srinagar, as well as Jammu and Ladakh. End of British colonial rule and the partition of British India in August 1947 led to the creation of Muslim-majority Pakistan and Hindu-majority India. At the time, princely states like Jammu and Kashmir were given the option to accede to either country. With nearly 75% Muslim population, many in Pakistan believed the region would naturally join that country. After all, Pakistan under Muhammad Ali Jinnah was created as a homeland for Muslims. Even though the majority of Muslims in what remained as India after partition stayed back in that country where Mahatma Gandhi and independent India's first Prime Minister Jawaharlal Nehru built the foundations of a secular state. The Maharaja of Kashmir initially sought independence from both countries, but later chose to join India after Pakistan invaded, triggering the First War of 1947 to 1948. The ceasefire line established after that was formalized as the LOC in the Simla Agreement. Despite this, both countries continue to assert claims to the entire region, including in the case of India, to China-administered Aksai Chin on the eastern side. The ruling Hindu Maharaja of Kashmir was Hari Singh, whose forefathers took control of the region as part of an agreement with the British in 1846. At the time of partition, Singh initially sought to retain Kashmir's independence from both India and Pakistan. But by then, a rebellion against his rule by pro-Pakistani residents in a part of Kashmir had broken out. Armed groups from Pakistan, backed by the government of the newly formed country, invaded and tried to take over the region. Sheikh Abdullah, the most prominent Kashmiri leader at the time, opposed the Pakistani-backed attack. Hari Singh appealed to India for military assistance. Nehru's government intervened against Pakistan, but on the condition that the Maharaja sign an instrument of accession, merging Jammu and Kashmir with India. In October 1947, Jammu and Kashmir officially became part of India, giving New Delhi control over the Kashmir Valley, Jammu and Ladakh. India accused Pakistan of being the aggressor in the conflict, a charge which Pakistan denied, and took the matter to the United Nations in January 1948. A key resolution was passed stating, "The question of the accession of Jammu and Kashmir to India or Pakistan should be decided through a democratic method of a free and impartial plebiscite." Nearly 80 years later, no plebiscite has been held, a source of grievance for Kashmirians. The first war over Kashmir finally ended with the UN-mediated ceasefire. And in 1949, the two countries formalized the ceasefire line under the agreement signed in Karachi, Pakistan's then capital. The new line divided Kashmir between India and Pakistani control parts. By 1953, Sheikh Abdullah had founded the Jammu Kashmir National Conference and won state elections in Indian-administered Kashmir. However, his increasing interest in seeking independence from India led to his arrest by Indian authorities. In 1956, Jammu and Kashmir was declared an integral part of India. In September 1965, less than two decades after independence, India and Pakistan went to war over the region again. Pakistan hoped to aid the Kashmiri cause and incite a local uprising, but the war ended in a stalemate, with both sides agreeing to a UN-supervised ceasefire. The Aksai Chin region in the northeast of the region sits at an elevation of 5,000 meters, and through history was a hard-to-reach, barely inhabited territory that in the 19th and early 20th centuries sat at the border of British India and China. It was part of the kingdoms of Kashmir's Hari Singh inherited as a result of the 1846 deal with the British. Until the 1930s at least, Chinese maps too recognized Kashmir as being south of the Ardrak-Johnson line that marked the northeastern boundary of Kashmir. After 1947 and Sikh accession to India, New Delhi viewed Aksai Chin as part of its territory. But by the early 1950s, China, now under communist rule, built a massive 1,200-kilometer-long highway connecting Tibet and Xinjiang and running through Aksai Chin. India was caught unaware. The desolate region had not been a security priority until then. In 1954, Nehru called for the border to be formalized according to Ardak-Johnson line, in effect recognizing that Xi Jin as a part of India. But China insisted that the British had never discussed the Ardagh-Johnson line and that Xi Jin belonged to it under an alternate map. Most importantly, though, China already had boots on the ground in the Xi Jin because of the highway. Meanwhile, Pakistan and China also had differences over who controlled what in parts of Kashmir. But by the turn of the early 1960s, they reached an agreement. China gave up grazing grounds that Pakistan had sought, and in return, Pakistan ceded a thin slice of northern Kashmir to China. India claims this deal was illegal, since according to the instrument of accession in 1947, all of Kashmir belonged to it. Another war followed in 1971. This time, it was what was known as East Pakistan. Following a popular revolt by India-backed Bengali nationalists against Pakistan's rule, the war led to the creation of Bangladesh. More than 90,000 Pakistani soldiers were captured by India as prisoners of war. The Simla Agreement converted the ceasefire line into the LOC, that is the line of control, a de facto but not internationally recognized border, yet again leaving Kashmir's status in question. But after India's decisive 1971 victory, and amid the growing political influence of Prime Minister Indira Gandhi, Nehru's daughter, the 1970s saw Abdullah abandon his demand for the plebiscite and the Kashmiri people's right to of self-determination. In 1975, he signed an accord with Gandhi, recognizing India administered Kashmir's accession to India while retaining semi-autonomous status under the Article 370 of the Indian Constitution. He later served as the region's chief minister. As the ties grew between Abdullah's National Conference Party and India's ruling Indian National Congress, so did frustration among Kashmiris in India-controlled Kashmir, who felt that socio-economic conditions had not been improved in the region. Separatist groups like the Jammu Kashmir Liberation Front, founded by Maqbul Bhatt, rose. India's claims of democracy in Kashmir faltered in the face of growing support for the armed groups. A tipping point was the 1987 election to the state legislature, which saw Abdullah's son, Farooq Abdullah, come to power, but which was viewed as a heavily weak to keep out popular anti-India politicians. Indian authorities launched a severe crackdown on separatist groups, which New Delhi alleged was supported and trained by Pakistan's military intelligence. Pakistan, for its part, has consistently maintained it provides only moral and diplomatic support, backing the Kashmiris' right to self-determination. In 1999, the conflict erupted in Kargil, where Indian and Pakistani forces fought for control over strategic heights along the LOC. India eventually regained the lost territory and the pre-conflict status was restored. This was the third war over Kashmir. Kargil is a part of Ladakh. The following years saw a gradual reduction in direct conflict, with multiple ceasefires signed. However, India significantly ramped up its military presence in the valley. Tensions were reignited in 2016 after the killing of Burhan Wani, a popular separatist figure. His death led to a rise in violence in the valley and more frequent exchanges of fire along the LOC. Major attacks in Indian administered Kashmir include those in Pathankot and Uri in 2016, targeted Indian forces who blamed Pakistan-backed armed groups. The most serious escalation came in February 2019, when a convoy of Indian paramilitary personnel was attacked in Pulwama, killing 40 soldiers and bringing the two nations to the brink of war. 6 months later, the Indian government under Prime Minister Narendra Modi unilaterally abrogated Article 370, stripping Jammu and Kashmir of its semi-autonomous status. Pakistan condemned the move as a violation of the Simla Agreement. The decision led to widespread protests in the valley. India deployed 500,000 to 800,000 soldiers, placed the region under lockdown, shut down internet services, and detained thousands of people. India insists that Pakistan is to blame for the ongoing crisis in Kashmir. It accuses Pakistan of hosting, financing, and training the Pakistani-based armed groups that have claimed responsibility for multiple attacks in Indian-administered Kashmir over the decades. Some of these groups are also accused by India, the US, and others of attacking other parts of India, such as during the 2008 attack on Mumbai, India's financial capital, when at least 166 people were killed over 3 days. Pakistan continues to deny that it fuels violence in Indian-controlled Kashmir and instead points to widespread resentment among the locals, accusing India of imposing harsh and undemocratic rule in the region. Islamabad says it only supports Kashmiri separatism diplomatically and morally. And then we are now at the present situation where they are talking about war, but there is very little chance that the two nuclear countries will go to war, which will just upset the entire Southeast Asia on fire. Well, now we have come to the end of our program. We trust that you and the listeners will have a wonderful weekend. Winter is setting in. Keep well. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.